morning was the nice message. Tonight, only the people that come on Sunday night probably can handle this. So, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Timothy. What a blessing you are to us, to this church, to your family. And I didn't think of it quick enough, but I should have got a video of him yesterday. But anyway, coming with his big floppy post office hat on. But turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 22, verse 19. We're in the upper room. It is the what they call the Last Supper, the last Passover, really, that was needed. And so when it says he, it means Jesus. Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks. Let me tell you, when Jesus takes bread and gives thanks, something's going to happen. First he takes it, he gives thanks, and then he breaks it. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then he gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Then, as the Holy Spirit directed Paul later on, it's a little bit more graphic, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, Paul declares, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Have to understand now that Paul spent a lot of time in the presence of the Lord. According to him, he was even caught up in the Spirit. And so he says in other places that, listen, I didn't learn this stuff just from other people. I got it directly. And so when he says, "For I have received of the Lord," he's saying, "I the Lord told me this, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" Luke says given. 1 Corinthians says, "Which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And when I said this morning that the body of Jesus is the bread, and that body extends even now, we are the body of Christ. We are the bread of life. We are a city that's on a hill that cannot be hid. Listen to me. God's people preserve this earth. We are the salt that preserves this from going into total chaos. When we are gone, chaos will arrive. All right? And so you're very critical. It doesn't matter whether you hold a position in the community or not. You hold a position within the body of Jesus Christ. But the body of Jesus, or the bread, was broken. And he broke it for a very real reason. During the ceremony of the Passover, they would take three pieces of bread and put them underneath the table. Three. Some say to us it would represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And those three pieces of bread, since it's Passover, were unleavened. They were flat bread. And so when Jesus goes under the table and he picks the middle one out. Now the middle one, believe it or not, was known as the Redeemer bread. And so when he pulls that out, now we know it's unleavened bread. We can go all the way back to Egypt. And of course, they needed to make bread in a hurry because they were going to leave. And so there's no time to raise it with leaven, or I think a more common word that we use is yeast. And have you ever watched bread rise, bread dough rise? It's an amazing thing. 1 minute you're there and it's just sitting in the bowl, and the next thing it's pouring out over the bowl. And I have a feeling there was an episode of I Love Lucy about that very thing. But in the Bible, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, leaven has a negative connotation. And it's not good. And so in the Passover, there's unleavened bread, not only because it was made in a hurry, but they didn't want any of the leaven of the Egyptians part of this. Leaven, I'll talk to you a little bit about leaven in a minute, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump." Good word. I want to be a new lump. "That ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened." He's saying something has taken place in your life that there's no need for leaven or old leaven in your life. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." So we've got to deal with leaven and unleavened bread. The Passover in the upper room that day was unleavened bread. Something I did not know until I kind of researched this. There is enough leaven in the air to cause dough to rise. Not greatly. You help it by putting yeast in. But if you leave it alone, it will bring enough whatever it is from the air, and it will make it rise. Interesting. Just being around will make leaven arise in your soul. Just living your life will make stuff begin to infect you, if you will. And we don't want that. We want to be pure. Hallelujah. And we don't want any leaven in us, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But this, I want to talk just for a second about this unleavened bread, the three pieces. The middle one being the Redeemer piece. So Jesus pulls that out from the table, and he holds it up. And he gives thanks to the Father for it, and then he breaks it. He snaps it. All right? So it's broken. And when he snaps it, he says, "This is my body, the Redeemer's body, that is broken for you." It's unleavened. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. I would actually go further, is that he was tempted more than you and me, yet without sin. But here he breaks the body. He's saying, and he's prophesying here. His body is not broken yet. But when he breaks it, he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He's prophesying there that soon and very soon, his body, his unleavened body, would be broken on their behalf. So remember that my body was broken for you. The bread of life will be broken. Remember that. The body of Jesus is the bread of life, and the bread of life must be broken so that it can be serviceable. Amen. So if we take a look at pure unleavened bread, you will see either one of two things, or you will see both. I am not a bread aficionado. I know how to eat it. To my knowledge, I've never made bread in my entire life. Furthermore, I've probably never, maybe when I was a little kid, but I've never in my adult life watched someone make bread. I've been the recipient of the blessings of the bread, but Jen was just out here and she makes sourdough bread. And anybody here make sourdough bread? You have to have starter? Ay, ay, ay. She brought starter with her from New York. I had to find a place for the starter. Then I ate the sourdough bread after I've been on a low-carb diet all this time. Anyway. Unleavened bread, that's not unleavened bread. It's leavened bread. But unleavened bread, you'll find one of two things, or you'll find both of them. Number one, you can find streaks or stripes, if you will. The dough is struck through so that the air does not have the ability, the outside air does not have the ability to cause it to rise. And so the bread of life had stripes. The bread of life had stripes. There at the whipping post, the unleavened bread of life took stripes upon his body, so there would be no ability for leaven to have an effect. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about leaven in just a couple of minutes. That's one thing. You'll see streaks in it. I think unleavened bread, Jewish unleavened bread, is called matzo bread. And you can find, I think you can buy it actually. But you'll find that it has streaks on it. There's another thing that you'll find, perhaps, on unleavened bread, and that is holes. Holes are poked in it in this phase where the dough is there. So once again, no leaven can take. And if you pull out a cracker of your choice, you look at the cracker, you'll find holes poked in it. That's not for the flavor of whatever you put on there to go through, okay? They did that so it would not rise. And the bread of life was poked all the way through. Hallelujah. His hands and his feet and his side and his skull were all poked for our benefit so that there would be no leaven in the bread of life when he becomes the Redeemer of the world. No leaven on the cross was found in him while he made the ultimate sacrifice for mankind. It was so that his sacrifice could be completely and wholly received of the Father. So that he would have the ability to sprinkle his perfect blood upon the mercy seat. His body had to be striped and poked so that it would be absolutely perfect. That sacrifice that would be made, like the Passover sacrifice of the one-year-old lamb, as they did it as they were leaving Egypt, so Jesus became our ultimate. We just read it in 1 Corinthians. So Jesus would become the ultimate Passover lamb. And so that the death angel could have no power over us. Hallelujah. Oh, don't ever forget it, friends. You serve Jesus, you never die. Oh, they can diagnose you with stuff and you can quit breathing, but you'll never die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We go from terrestrial to celestial in a split second. Glory to God. I want to tell you this evening, and the real crux of the message tonight, part two of this morning's message, is in this next statement. We should never despair, even though we're being striped and poked. The afflictions that come our way, do not despair nor dismay. It is one of the things God uses to cleanse us from leaven. It's a different thing, isn't it? Most people say, oh, it's all bad. No, it's not all bad. He's dealing with the leaven that's within me, and it's got to go. Philippians 3:7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Think about leaven. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I've never read an account of royalty suffering like Jesus suffered. A perfect man going through horrendous things, not only physical, horrendous physical things for sure. And if we take a minute and delineate all the things that he went through and what we call the Passion Week, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally and even spiritually, Jesus went through. And here's the great Apostle Paul, who used to persecute the church, but he has gone through all this, and he says, "I have suffered the loss of all things. I've lost my reputation. I have lost my social standing. I have lost money. I have lost friendship. I have lost all of these things. I do count them but manure, dung." He says that they're nothing to me that I may win Christ. For the greatest prize of all is Jesus Himself. The greatest prize is not getting to heaven. That's the byproduct of having Jesus. Let me say that again. The ultimate prize is not heaven. The ultimate prize is Jesus Himself. "That I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Then he gets serious with us. "That I may know Him." I still love that old chorus. To know You is the cry of my heart. Holy Spirit, reveal Him to me. To hear what You're saying brings life to my bones. To know You, O Lord." To read the first part of this scripture without finishing does the Word of God disservice. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that shall quicken your mortal body. So we will experience the power of God in resurrection. Then there's a comma. "And the fellowship of His sufferings." Wait a minute, time out. The fellowship of His sufferings? That I may have fellowship with Him through suffering? Oh, there's a lot of Christians who won't go there. "Being made conformable unto His death." His death. He's saying, it's not my life, it's His. I live for Him. "For if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, from henceforth let no man trouble me." This is where I'm hitting for. "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He says, I've gone through a lot of stuff on my road with Jesus, and it's worth it, is what he's saying. Regardless of what you give up, regardless of what how alone you may seem, it is still worth it. You're under trial. You're under temptation. You're under affliction. You're under difficult times. Do not run away from them. Say, "Lord, deal with the leaven in my life through these things. Teach me, Lord. Teach me that I don't trust You. Get me in a place where I have to trust You so that the leaven that's within me that says I've got to do this on my own will be destroyed so that I can be unleavened bread." Because unleavened bread then is healthy and spiritually good for those that are around you. striped and poked so that all my pride and arrogancy and hypocrisy is taken out. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, listen, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he said in that case that their leaven was their hypocrisy. We said, well, I'm not a hypocrite. Really? Really? All right. Thank the Lord. But if you ever judge someone else and you have the same issue in yourself, you're a hypocrite. Do you know what it means for God to deal with all of your pride? It is striping and poking. And getting down in the dirt and saying, Lord, I have no place else to go but you. And that's exactly where he wants you so that he can prove himself. So he can say, like he told the Apostle Paul, who had prayed three times for this thorn in his side to be removed. And Paul was getting lower and lower and said, aren't you going to ever answer my prayer? And the Lord said, listen, son, my grace is sufficient for you. When everything is against you, when all the trials have come, and they rarely come one at a time, they kind of like group up and jump on top of you. Know this, that you belong to Jesus, and He is dealing with the leaven in our lives. He wants all of us flatbread. He wants us striped and poked so that the leaven that naturally comes to us. Have you ever wondered, why aren't we more inclined naturally to serve Jesus? Why aren't we just like, I hate everything the world has to offer, and it's so easy to serve Jesus. I'm never tempted. It's just so easy. Glory to God. It's like, Lord, why do you make it, I feel like we're all underdogs. Like the system is made for us to be underdogs, and we have got to do something that will cause us to overcome because, if, for lack of a better term, the odds are against us. Do you have to teach a child to lie? You don't have to teach him to steal either. Except at Grandpa and Grandma's house, they get everything anyway. They don't have to steal anything because they get it all. But you don't have to teach people how to sin. Somehow, it comes along relatively naturally. I was thought, who taught Cain to kill Abel? Where did that anger come from? And it's like, man, we are up against it here. We live in a world that's full of leaven. That's all there is. Every billboard, everything that we come across is filled with leaven. Every commercial says that you deserve better. Or I have to have my me time. Honey, that's leaven. You say, oh, pastor. No, don't old pastor me. Old Bible. It's not about me. It's about Him and me serving Him and me serving you. Do you ever do something quietly, but in your heart it was a pretty big sacrifice for you, and nobody said thank you? And like nobody noticed it or even appreciated it? Have you ever been there? You find out if you have leaven in your heart when you do something like that, and you're the teeniest bit offended because nobody thanks you and appreciated for what you did. Well, at least they could have said thank you. You have leaven. Why? Because it's your pride. Look at me. I did something good. I tried to do it quietly, but nobody said thank you, and I'm a little bit put out by that. Then you find out if there's leaven in you or not. Yeah, I'm not thrilled with the message either. So just so you know. This doesn't thrill my soul. You don't see me jumping up and down. But Jesus takes us there so that He can use us for His glory. You see, leavened Christians aren't of much use. It's the unleavened ones that become useful in the master's hands. Do you hear me tonight? Though, that's why it goes with this morning's. As you deal with the Lord daily, He deals with us daily, and He says, Scott, Scott, how can I take care of those issues on my own? He leads and directs and puts us in situations that will cause us to become unleavened. So that I can give up all the pride. You know, most of us do not know how prideful we are. You know, one guy said, man, I really humbled myself before the Lord, and then I started getting proud about being humble. Like, how can we win here? Come, Tim. If Jesus is the bread of life, and Jesus lives in me, hence, the bread of life is in me, and it's unleavened bread in me. And it is the unleavened bread that needs to be broken and distributed. Jesus took the bread, He gave thanks, He broke it, and then He gave it to His disciples. And those people that have been broken under the hand of the Lord, hear me clearly, become useful to be, as those pieces are broken, they can be distributed to others and they can be a blessing to others. Until we have faced difficult times, friends, this idea of trying to avoid all the difficult times and so forth, and we're the blessed of God and all of that, I believe we are blessed of God. But sometimes He takes us through really dark and lonely valleys so that we can become useful. We can be distributed to those that have needs. If you've ever gone through the hell of a child turning his back on you and not serving the Lord but serving Satan, and it's very obvious. If you've ever gone through the heartache of having a child turn to you and say, don't talk to me about this Jesus stuff ever again. You're broken. You're poked. But when someone else comes to you and says, that's me too. Now that the Lord has worked on you, you can tell them, 15 years is not too long. The Lord will answer your prayer. It's going to be all right. I told my story to some, I think it was a missionary or evangelist. I told the story of one of our kids not serving the Lord. It's a bad story. And as I'm telling him, I didn't think it was that bad to make him cry. But he began to weep. And he said, that's me. That's my family. And as I've shared different stories, you know what? I haven't found a pastor or a missionary that doesn't have some kind of story like that. And we're going to have to be poked. We're going to have to be striped so that we can be useful. Just because you're broken doesn't mean you're not useful. Jesus had to be broken before He could become useful. God's got no use for pride and arrogance in His kingdom. There's absolutely no use for it. Not because of our righteousness, but because He did the work, am I saved. And it's not because of my righteousness that I stay saved. It's His righteousness in me. You're going through horrible times? God bless you. You're about ready to be used of God. If you grow bitter from it, He can't use you. If you get to this idea that God doesn't care about me enough to fix my problems, He can't use you. But if you are broken and you submit yourself like Jesus submitted Himself to the Father's will, if you're broken and you submit yourself to Him, now you're a prepared piece of bread, ready to nourish somebody else. Hallelujah. Will you stand together with me? Which one of us here doesn't want to be used of God? I would, if I took a poll tonight, it would be a very, very high percentage of people who want to be used of God, want to be a blessing in this world, want to help others, lift them up. But we don't want to hear, well, then he might have to do some breaking. He might have to deliver us from some of our leaven that so easily creeps up. Every day we need to get unleavened. That's why this morning, it's a daily thing. The Lord has to deal with me every day. Whew, Lord Jesus, help us. Would you this evening, as we're standing together, would you offer yourself to the Lord? If you can use anything, Lord, use me, with the understanding that He wants to take the leaven out of my life. He wants to take the leaven out of my thinking. He wants to take the leaven out of my emotions, my soul, so that I can glorify Him. I'm just going to take, right where you're at, if you can, if you will, would you offer yourself as a piece of unleavened bread? You see, when you're a sinner, you're full of leaven. But when Jesus comes in, He cleanses you out of that leaven because you can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing. It's only your trust in Jesus that will bring salvation. But would you offer Him yourself today? We're part of the great bread of life because Jesus is in us. Offer ourselves, Lord. Have Your way in me. I know it's scary. Lord, whatever You need to strike, whatever need you need to poke to deliver me from my leaven, oh God, have Your way. Jesus. 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 Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, come deliver us from our leaven, Lord. Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Daily bread.